Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
And that's how we start the 25th day of the 9th month of 2025. Good morning and welcome to the MoneyWeb Now podcast with Simon Brown. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Mr. Brown this morning. Here's what you can look forward to. Kia Nonyana of Scope Prime will take us through market movements. Cassidy Nadal, head of growth at Frank, will speak to us about a new tool that aims to bring financial order to South Africa's hustling entrepreneurs. And we take a look at the future of US and South African interest rates with Isaac Werdendal of Old Mutual Wealth Investment. He's the strategist there. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Morning headlines on MoneyWeb. Cohen and Chiappini reflect as Mr. Price turns 40. On Business Day, South Africa pushes the United States to renew AGOA, but warns it is diversifying. Market movements, U.S. markets, the S&P 500 0.28%, NASDAQ 0.34%, commodities, gold futures 3,736, Brent 69.07, platinum 1,477, palladium 1,217. The rand is at 17.32 to the US dollar. Bitcoin 112,754. Top 40 opening call expected 42 points in the positive. We speak now to Kia Nonyana of Scope Prime on market movements. Kia, thank you very much for your time this morning. Maybe let's start with that MoneyWeb headline where Mr. Price turns 40. What is the story of Mr. Price in South Africa?
No, I think as a stock, I always say it's in quite a cyclical sector. I think retail apparel is one that goes through seasonality, and it just goes into showing how fast-moving fashion just relies on the supply chain cycle and essentially being at the forefront of sourcing new fashion. What I really do like about Mr. Price is that they have teams directly on the ground in the Asia region looking for the new trends in fashion, and they have really had a business where they've had more hits rather than misses. I think Mr. Price is a great brand and a great story for the South African people. I think may it live on for 40 more years.
Sure. You speak of more hits than misses, and you speak of fast moving fashion. I mean, when you look at the online fashion industry, which is also relatively quote unquote cheap for people, will we see this dominance in the next 40 years?
I think that there's a lot of regulatory help they'd need in order to be able to get some tariffs on some of these cheaper imports from these online fast moving fashion. But what I really think at the moment is what can they do to get a competitive advantage? I mean, I look at some of it, of their competitors who are local, such as Bash, who are really really revolutionizing that online retail fashion outlet. And if they can get a competitive advantage, which is not going to be just purely on price, but something else. And right now, can I tell you what that something else is? I also am out of ideas.
Fair enough, Kia. Let's take a look at President Donald Trump's address at the United Nations General Assembly, right? He says this is the golden age of America, if you will, saying that inflation has been defeated. But we heard from Fed Chair Jerome Powell speaking at the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce on Tuesday, saying that inflation remains elevated.
I think these are the contradictory statements between the Fed chair and the U.S. president. But I think with the U.S. president, I think the level of hubris he has is tantamount to the last kicks of a dying horse. I think U.S. dominance in world global economic orders is really going to be reshaped, and they need to see how they position themselves going forward with the dominance of the Asia area, specifically China, which in the next couple of years will be the largest economy. But even if you're looking at our purchasing power parity levels, China is larger than the US and has been larger than the US for the past 10 years. So I really think right now this is hubris talking from Donald Trump. And the true economics, such as Jerome Powell, will tell you inflation has not yet been handled in that economy. And right now you have the risk of stagflation, where you're seeing higher unemployment as well as inflationary pressure. And stagflation in the history of economics has never been solved, in my opinion.
Donald Trump says everything is down but the stock market. According to him, it's hit record highs 48 times since he has come into office. Help us fact check there.
It's probably true. I think the market really is at all-time highs. Even this week, we've seen a couple of all-time highs. And do I really believe that it has to do more with politics rather than the real economy? No, I think it's the real economy. The U.S. economy has been in a liquidity flush. And what that has led to is essentially low interest rates for a very long time, quantitative easing, which is essentially not really moved into the real economy, but really has moved into the stock market. And I think the dominance of the AI play within the U.S. stock market is going to continue to unfold itself, even in the coming years. And you're going to see it as the leader of civilization. Even just this week, $100 billion investment from NVIDIA into OpenAI. This shows there's a lot of money being bet into AI. And if it shows value accretion, I do believe the stock market may hit 48 more highs in Donald Trump's presidency.
Gia, thank you very much for your time this morning. Gia Nonyana is with Scope Prime.
Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Here's a story we were quite eager to bring to you on Tuesday, but had to wait until after the public holiday yesterday. So a growing number of South Africans are joining the gig economy, running side businesses or freelancing. These individuals are said to be struggling to separate personal and business finances, prepare for tax, or track whether their hustles are truly profitable. A new offering for freelancers, sole proprietors and entrepreneurs, the Hustle Account, has been launched to address these gaps. We find out how with Cassidy Nadal, head of Growth at Frank. Thank you very much, Cassidy, for your time this morning. Talk us through a little bit about the why. What did you notice that necessitated this product?
Morning, Dudu. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's great to be here. So what we realized in serving our customers is that many of them were building out additional income streams. They were really building their wealth on their own terms. And what this meant is they were often mixing their personal and their business finances all in one account. Oftentimes, these people had side hustles, so they didn't necessarily have a registered business where they could open a business account. And that obviously brings additional financial complexity when it comes especially to tax time. So oftentimes, these people would then become provisional taxpayers. You now have to sort through all your income expenses and determine which of those expenses are your business expenses that you can deduct them from your taxable income. And that means going through reams and reams of statements, spreadsheets, and there's just a better way to do that.
That would then be the Hustle Account. Is that an app that is associated with a bank?
So no, not a bank, but let me take a step back and explain what Frank is. So Frank is a goal-based savings and investment app, and it's always been our mission to make it really simple and intuitive for our customers to build their wealth. So to do that, we guide our customers in setting up their own personalized investment strategies around their real-life goals and their financial situations. So this is how we were working with our customers and where we realized that they were building these additional income streams, right? Mm-hmm. So the Hustle Account is an account within the Frank app. And the beauty of that is you can manage both your business side of your life, but then also your personal income and wealth building as well, all in one app.
All right. Talk to us about the tracking tool. How does it work?
So you can connect your bank accounts or upload your bank statements, whichever you're more comfortable with, and we pull your income and expenses data, and you can then start to tag all your expenses. So you can tag them with either a personalized tag, And there's the additional layer of SARS-friendly tagging as well. So we've pulled those tag categories or labels from the tax returns themselves. And what that means is, come tax time, you have all your expenses ready tagged, especially if you've been doing it regularly on a weekly or monthly basis, and you can very quickly tally up exactly what you spent within every category, and it just really makes tax returns a breeze.
Mm-hmm. You speak about tax returns. What are the other blind spots entrepreneurs face when it comes to managing money?
So again, if your personal and your business expenses and income are all mixed in one account, it's very hard to determine exactly what is being grown from your business side versus what you're getting on the personal side. Often these are actually salaried employees. So, you know, you're getting a regular income as well as whatever you're earning from your side hustle. So as part of the Frank Hustle account, we also have a profit and loss report that's automated. We've obviously pulled in your income and expenses data. So we generate the profit and loss report, and you can then understand exactly what your business is making. As part of that profit and loss report, which is quite unique in the market, we also have an estimate on your taxable income, and then obviously through that, your tax. And that's really important because provisional tax can sometimes feel like a bit of a dark art when it comes to your tax return time, either at the end of February or at the end of August. It can come as a bit of a shock to find out exactly what you what your taxable income and what your tax for that period is.
Mm. Literature also suggests that South Africans are not saving as much as they should. So there's also a savings pot here where you can easily allocate 25% of each invoice into that pot.
Exactly. So it is a business savings pot. One of the uses for that, obviously, is that we suggest is for tax savings. What we suggest, like you said, is 25% every month. And that just means that at tax return time, you don't have that shock of having to pay a lump sum tax amount. You can also use that savings pot for any business expenses. So if you know that a big expense is coming up, it just gets you into a regular habit of saving towards what is really important to you to build your business.
And it lives in a money market fund? Which earns interest.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So it's powered by an Allan Gray money market fund. And what that means, especially for your tax savings, is it's not just gathering dust. It's actually growing while you're putting it away.
Cassidy, I was also curious in terms of regulation, because when people go and they download apps, etc., also where money is involved, you want to know that, or you want to have a certain level of comfort that this is somebody that is registered, for instance, is acknowledged by the FSCA, etc. And so in terms of that, where do you sit?
Exactly. So we are regulated by the FSCA. We are a financial services provider, and we are regulated by that. Obviously, like I said, our main product is a savings and investment app for our users, and we've been around for 8 years and have been helping our customers build their wealth for those 8 years. And this is just an added feature for those customers of ours that are also building their side hustles on the side.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. Cassidy Nadal is Head of Growth at Frank.
Let your money benefit from experience with Stanlib Asset Management. Find out about Stanlib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Onto the future path of US and SA interest rates now in the face of inflationary and political pressures. We speak to Isaac Werdendal, Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. Thank you very much, Isaac, for your time this morning. So we will go with the opinion piece that you have penned, and you argue that perhaps the next boardroom TV drama will be set in the Federal Reserve's headquarters when we take a look at U.S. interest rates. Maybe help us understand the characters, right, of this series, if you will. What's the structure of the Federal Open Market Committee when we take a look at the Monetary Policy Committee in South Africa, some 7 members comprised of the governor, 3 deputy governors and selected senior officials?
Yeah, so the US, the FOMC structure is fairly decentralized in the sense that there are 7 board members who sit in Washington, D.C., and then the Fed is comprised of 12 regional Federal Reserve banks. And then the bank presidents from those regional bodies rotate on the FOMC. So there are 5 of them that sit on the FOMC. So the drama has been around the board members at this stage. Trump accused one of the board members of basically cheating on a mortgage application years ago, and he fired her. She's gone to court and said she doesn't have cause for firing her, and so far the courts have said she can stay on. But clearly, you know, that's a case of him trying to find something to use against anybody, really, so that he can increase his influence on the FOMC. There was a vacancy, and he put Stephen Moran, one of his close advisors, onto the board. So there's already one very direct Trump supporter on the board, and then there are also two governors that he appointed in his first term, who are Christopher Waller and Michelle Bowman. But I think the main character in this whole drama is probably Trump himself, because it is a historically unprecedented degree of public interference in the functioning of the central banks. Presidents have in the past pressurized behind closed doors central bank chiefs in the US, but this is very public. It's all happening on social media.
In real time, and the plot thickens because the U.S. cut interest rates for the first time this year, and questions are being asked whether there's a political pressure there, or you can trace the fingerprints of political pressure. You also argue that central banks can lower interest rates for good or bad reasons. So as the plot thickens, what are some of the good and the bad reasons?
Look, typically, a good reason for cutting rates would simply be that inflation has come down and therefore higher rates are no longer needed. And that is what we've seen in South Africa. That's why the Reserve Bank has been cutting rates over the last year. That is, in fact, what we saw in America last year. Inflation came down very nicely, and there was room to cut interest rates. So that would be a good reason for cutting interest rates. And obviously, that is very positive from a market's point of view. A bad reason would be if the economy is about to crash, and then you need emergency support. And that's what we saw in COVID. You know, central banks slashed interest rates all over the world. But that was in response to this economic emergency. So that's a bad reason to be cutting interest rates. It doesn't really help markets. Or it's the underlying economic conditions are very negative for financial markets.
With every plot, there is a twist. What is the plot twist here? Is it too early to tell, more so when we speak of risk management, or can we already see the signs with both central banks?
Look, in the case of the U.S., I mean, obviously, the questions are being asked about political interference. But I think the decision they made last week to cut interest rates was the right one, given that you've seen a very sharp slowdown in job creation in the U.S. And so I think it is right for them to err on the side of cutting interest rates. But of course, it's a very difficult decision because inflation is rising. So normally you would not be cutting interest rates if inflation is rising. But this is not a normal time, so I think that cut was fine, and maybe one or two more. But beyond that, you know, we're gonna have to wait and see. If you want to do this purely from an economic point of view. But then the other issue is that over time, I think Trump will be able to build more influence on the board, and so you might find that the marginal decision goes in the way of what the president wants, which has historically been lower interest rates. So you might see that there is a bias towards lower rates or towards rates that are lower than they would have otherwise been.
We heard from Jerome Powell on Tuesday at the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce 2025 Economic Outlook. He spoke of the September Beige book, a book that is literally beige, he says. And that's a report on qualitative data on the Federal Reserve's system, which spoke of consumer and business sentiment being low compared to the beginning of the year. And so when we take a look at that as a consideration for not only the Federal Reserve, but the South African Reserve Bank as well, because when we speak of sentiment, consumer and business in South Africa as well, it could very well be argued that it is also low. There are some similarities in as much as there are differences between the two?
Yeah, I mean, sentiment data has historically been a useful economic indicator, but it's not perfect because people will often say, oh, things are terrible, but then when you look at their behavior, you know, they're spending money. And we see that in South Africa. We see that retail sales has actually picked up very nicely, car sales picking up. So in this environment, then you go with the hard data. You go with what people actually do rather than what they say. And similarly in the US, despite the fact that sentiment is poor, consumer spending is still rising. Now, part of the problem there is it's an issue of averages, right? Because rich people can spend more, and so they can lift the overall spending numbers, whereas the sentiment numbers are more democratic and give you a bigger slice of what's happening in the population. And I think that's especially true in the US, but also, of course, in South Africa, that is a very unequal society. But at the end, if you just look at the numbers, spending is rising. And so we're not seeing a massive slowdown in spending in the US. And in South Africa, things are actually getting better, it seems.
Thank you very much, Isaac, for your time this morning. Isaac Werdendal, Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. And that's it from us for today. Thank you very much for tuning in. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. and podcast just after 7 a.m. A big thank you to the team, Eddie, Nobuhle, Nicole. And this week, we are doing things a little bit differently. A big thank you to Mr. Sibusiso, Ms. Mosehla, and of course, Mr. Thulani, and to you for your time and to our guests for their time. We're back with you tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a magic day further. Bagaitu, bulakio.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.